Good morning, everyone. You know, it's just confirmation of what the Lord has laid on my heart today with Alan's reading at the start, because he read a parable from Matthew, and I was reading a parable from Matthew during the week, which led me to this message. The parable I read was a parable of the bags of gold. I'm sure you're all well aware of it, so I'm not going to read the passage because it's quite a long one, and I think we've had enough reading today, but I'm sure you're all aware that there was three servants. They were all given bags of gold, 1 5, 1 2, and 1 1, to look after while the master went away. And two of them were wise, and they invested it and gave him back twofold what he had left. And one was a bit scared of the master, so he buried his talent, or his bag of gold, as it was, and offered it back without any growth to the master, who wasn't very pleased. So, from that passage, to me it's clear that the Lord wasn't talking about bags of gold. He was talking about the individuals, us, people who he's invested in, people that he puts his talents into. So that led me to believe, you know, and think about it. Our God is a God of order, a God who is the greatest designer the world has ever or will ever know, without exception. After all, he made the earth, the sea, the sky, and everything in them. And, you know, everything living on it as well. All the animals, the varieties, the species that are out there. Even David Attenborough can't cover them all. You know, there's species out there that we don't even know about, in the depths of the sea, because they're living so far down. But you know, our Lord knows them all and knows everything that goes on. When we look at the diversity of this world, it's mind-blowing. And I believe that the only one who's capable of fully understanding it all is the Creator himself, our Lord, his Father, our God, the Holy One. You know, he has a plan for you and for me. But why does he have a plan for you and me? His word tells us quite simply, because he loves us. He cares for us, and he wants us to have a pathway on which to go. But you know, we can be very arrogant, can't we? At times we believe that that's mankind, we can do just about anything that we put our mind to. Do we really need God? When you look, we can manipulate nature to meet our demands. We can use chemicals to make our foodstuff grow quicker. We can put it into greenhouses or into hydropods, and we can grow it when we want, so that we can go out and have our strawberries when we want them, no matter what time of the year it is. We can have our tomatoes. You know, why do we need God? You know, but I would put it to you, a challenge, that the nutritional value and the goodness of the flavour of that fruit and the vegetables produced in that way, the forced growing, does not compare with the taste of that which is grown in season, naturally. Those of you who have got little plots in your own, you grow your own tomatoes, when you taste them and taste the ones that you buy in the supermarket, you can taste the difference. You can taste the sweetness and the freshness. You know, and you know what's gone into them as well. So you're not getting all the chemicals that the world puts into things. And that's the way the world is. It's toxic, the world. When you look at the things that are going on the television, even the programs, and they're on about trying to protect the youth from multimedia and that times, yet they're still putting even the adverts on the televisions now. There is no morals in them. Every sort of depravity is covered in there, you know. within the adverts on. So there's no escaping from this world. You know, society today, people want to keep up to date with things. They want to be up to date with fashion. They want to be up to date with the high-tech equipment. And they want to be up with it now. They don't want to wait until they have saved enough to be able to afford to buy it. They've got their plastic friend, and they go out and they spend it. And what happens? They end up in a lot of debt. Why? Simply because they've lost the concept of doing things in season, which Scripture intends. That's why the Lord gives us seasons. Simply means that we wait and do things at the right time when it's affordable. Everyone is in a rush to get ahead, to get noticed, to be seen as important by their friends and others. Today, that seems to be the world's plan, as it were. But what is God's plan? God has a plan and a purpose for each one of us. If we look at John 10, verse 10, it puts it like this. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. But Jesus, he said himself, I come that they may have life and have it to the full. In a parable we have just talked about, Jesus paints a picture of how a servant should act. And remember, if we have accepted Jesus as our personal Savior, isn't that exactly what we are? His servants, servants of the living God. In the parable, each of the servants was given a different amount of talents, or if you prefer, responsibilities, in keeping with their relationship and their position with the master. Each was expected to use the talents given to produce productivity. There's a natural talent, or if you prefer, a trait, which tends to run from family to family. I know the Brown family, it's music. They're all gifted and play one instrument or another. And there's things in different families. My family, there was four of us went into the painting and decorating, and we always thought we were pretty good at it, you know, but there's different things. My family, really, everybody worked with their hands at something. My father was an upholsterer. You know, brothers went butchery and what have you. We all were working with our hands because probably we didn't have a lot of brains, you know, brain power. But common sense comes into it a lot. And the Lord gives us talents to carry out the plans that he has for each one of us in our lives. God gives us the talents that we require. We do not need the same job load of talents, as it were. Why? Well, honestly, if we had them all, I don't think we would know how to use them. I don't think we could cope with the pressure or the level of work. And the Lord doesn't burden us at all. His yoke is light and his burden. Let me give you an illustration. If you were to learn to ride a bike, if you hadn't never ridden a bike in your life, for example, it would make sense to start with stabilizers, wouldn't it? And only when you'd mastered staying up steady on it with the stabilizers off contact, out of contact with the ground, only then, when you've mastered that art and felt confident, that you might consider removing the stabilizers. And that's important to realize that we all have different talents that we should be using for the glory of God. As we are told in 1 Corinthians, we are part of one body, and just as a body requires different parts working in unison, as 1 Corinthians 12:27-31 states, now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. And in the church, God has appointed first of all apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then workers of miracles, also those having gifts of healing, those able to hear others, those having the gifts of administration, those speaking in different tongues. Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have the gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? But eagerly desire the greatest gifts, love. The number of gifts or talents that each of us has is not what's important. The main thing I want to ask each of us this morning is, how are you using the talents that the Lord has given you? Do we use them only when we feel like it? Do we use them only to display our own importance? I truly hope that the answer to both those questions is certainly not. We should be careful to use them properly for the purpose they were given to us. That is to glorify His holy name above all names and not ourselves. We are all individuals with different personalities and abilities, and God provides us with the talents that we require to do with it, what's within our own ability in keeping with His will. But it's not always within our own ability. It's not always within our own strength, because we need His strength to fulfill it. He has a plan for our lives. Therefore, it's important that we each recognize what our talents are and that we endeavor to use them to glorify His holy name. Remember the old adage, you either use them or you lose them. Just like that third servant did in that parable. You remember, this master took the talent that he had buried and gave it to the one who had turned his 5 into 10 bags of gold. If you do not recognize your talent, what should you do? Well, you should ask God to show you what they are today. Remember His promise, ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Remember that our God is a great provider. He provides for all of our needs and then some. He will never ask you to do anything that is impossible. We need to remember that with His help, as Scripture tells us, all things are possible. So don't be afraid when you hear His voice calling you to do something. Be bold, be brave, as the song goes. Step out in faith and you will receive His blessing. I don't pretend that it will always be easy, but if you walk with God, it will be rewarding. As Scripture assures us, God is no man's debtor. If we listen to His voice and do His will, He will give us the strength to succeed. And what's more, we won't feel like boasting about it or get big-headed about our own ability, because we know that we have done it with Him and His strength. Him leading us by the hand. I don't know about you, but I draw courage and comfort from church music. Some of the songs we've sung this morning were very uplifting. And you know, songs, spiritual songs, Christian songs, are very scriptural, and they stick in my mind better sometimes than Scripture itself. I don't know why it is, but I think music, and I think that's why the Lord gives us music. That's why the Psalms are there, is to get it into your soul. And there's one hymn that came to my mind when I was writing this message this week, and it's in our Mission Praise hymn book. It's number 263. I'm sure you're well aware of it. I am weak, but Thou art strong. Jesus, keep me from all wrong. I'll be satisfied as long as I walk, let me walk close with Thee. This hymn is a good guide as how we as Christians should be seeking to live our lives. We need to maintain a daily contact with the Lord through prayer. And you know, prayer doesn't need to be long, convoluted. You don't need to have special words. You just need to have a conversation and be honest. And you can do it anywhere. You can do it when you're washing the dishes, when you're driving the car, when you're laying at night and you can't get to sleep. I know many a times I fall asleep praying. You know, but it's lovely to know that you can talk. And no one, well, you do get answers back, but not in the Eric way, as it will. It's always promising and uplifting. You know, Jesus desires us, or God desires us to become more like his son Jesus, doesn't he? Scripture tells us that, and it's important that we understand. It doesn't matter so much how many talents or what talents God has given to each of us. It's what we do with them that matters. Just as the master in the parable made a judgment on the performance of his servants, we too will be examined and have to answer to Jesus as to how well we use the talents that he gave us. I don't know about you, but that thought certainly concentrates my mind and stops me becoming complacent. It reminds me that I need to rely more on God to direct my steps and less on myself if I'm going to keep on the right path. Yes, God has a plan and a purpose for each of us. It doesn't matter how big or small our talents are, or might seem to us, or to seem to others. The thing is to remember is that they must be important. Otherwise, God would not have invested them in us. And when he invests in us, he expects a return. I love the way Paul uses the picture of the body to emphasize the need of unity within the church and to help us to understand that no matter how small a part we are given, if we just do our little bit, our individual part, it frees up other members of the body and enables them to concentrate on their parts. You know, another part of the body, as a part of the body, we reply and rely upon each other. Because if we don't move together in unity, we're going to stumble. If you ever get a dead leg and you try to get up and try to walk, you soon find out that you're hopping. And when you're hopping, you haven't got very good balance. And to be in good balance, you need the use of all the members of the body. And I think it's the same with the church. To have true fellowship, we need to be in unison with the Lord and with each other. And as we have done this morning, some may say lightheartedly, but we do need to ask for forgiveness and to forgive other people, because at times people say things without even the intent, but sometimes human nature, we feel that we've been slighted or been got at. But sometimes we're not being got at. Maybe a bit the Holy Spirit telling you, you know, don't be so proud. Be a bit more humble. But I'll leave that with you. I'll let you understand. I can never understand exactly at times how it says. But I'm sure, like the servants who done the right thing with their talents, we want to know and hear Jesus say to us, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." I'm sure that, like me, those are the words you want to hear when you stand before Jesus on the day of judgment. I want to encourage you this morning with a couple of verses from Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5-7. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. You know, if we follow those three simple verses, then we can be confident that the God we worship, our Heavenly Father, is the great I Am. He is in control, and He will provide and meet all our needs and then some to fulfill them. He has an order, a plan for each one of us. And all He asks us to do is to listen, take His hand, and let Him lead us through it. Amen. Let's just pray. Heavenly Father, we acknowledge You as the great I Am, the designer and the creator of all. We thank You for Your gift of love, Your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, through whom we can approach Your throne of grace and prayer. Lord, we want to thank You for the abilities and talents that You give to each one of us. Help us to recognize them, Lord, and to use them to help us through the troubles that this world may place in our path. Help us, Father, to use those abilities and those talents to glorify Your holy name. Father, I ask that You give us all a fresh infilling of Your Holy Spirit this morning, and that You strengthen our will and our determination to keep up the good fight in the certain knowledge that although the warfare against evil goes on, the battle has already been won by You. Hallelujah.